I think if we can literally resurrect the human Jesus in our thinking, we will add something to our religious lives. Children need a hero. And they are just not going to get excited over the emaciated, adenoidal portraits that currently pass for pictures of Jesus and which are hand-me-downs from the Renaissance times when a holy man didn't eat regularly. He lived in a cave and went on a diet and was thin. And emaciation symbolizes holiness. But he didn't look that way. And children are not going to get excited about a guy that is presented like that. I can see where the Ladies' Aid Society of Capernaum might have gone gaga for someone who looked like a conventional caricature of a yogi. But I don't see that a bunch of fairly hard-boiled, robust, red-blooded fishermen would have followed him through hell and high water for almost 4 years. He was a real man. He should be presented as a man. We should resurrect his positive virtues as well as the negative virtues which have been, in my judgment, terribly over-accentuated in Christianity. Sure, he was meek, but he was also mighty. Sure, he was long-suffering, but when he did blow his stack, he stopped the whole banking business in the temple for 3 days. This is sort of like overturning, what is it out here? The Bank of America, you know? He was long-suffering, but when the apostles came back from teaching in the Greek cities of the Scythopolis and says, Master, they won't take us seriously. They say, your religion is all right for people who have low hemoglobin, but it isn't very good for red-blooded men. And you remember his retort? He could get pretty indignant. He says, wait a minute, wait a minute. Do I look like a weakling? Was John a weakling? He read him off. He had chill steel courage. This man had what a Marine would call real guts. And yet he had excellent judgment. You couldn't trigger him into going off half-cocked. He had a pretty standard reply. This hour has not yet come. But when he made a decision, it didn't make any difference how dangerous it was. He had only one reply. But this hour has come. You remember old Thomas, who was one of the most courageous of the 12, would be laboring. And finally, when he'd give up, he just shrugged his shoulders and turned to his comrades and says, all right, boys, let's go die with him. I think one of the great losses sustained by Christianity is the loss of the challenge of Jesus' human life. It's so easy to say, well, after all, he was a Michael son. He could do these things. But up until the time of his baptism, he did not have any more equipment than anyone sitting in this room has got. In fact, he didn't even have the Spirit of Truth, which we have. The quality of divinity of his indwelling adjuster differed not one whit from the quality of the divinity of the adjuster that indwells each human being on earth. And it was the cooperation of his truly human mind and this indwelling adjuster that made all this possible. Most human beings, I think, enjoy elevating Christ so damned high that they can completely evade the human challenge of the human Jesus. If we can just get him far off enough away, we can sort of, you know, forget his human life. We can't copy his public ministry. Sure, after Mount Hermon and the baptism, he functions as a descending son. He says things, he does things that no human being in his right mind would say or do. He also said, "Which one of you convicts me of sin?" He said, "I am the light of the world." He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." This is not the human Jesus talking. This is a paradise Son of God talking. But this happened only after his baptism. Prior to that time, he went through exactly the same sort of experience that we are now traversing. And he had exactly the equipment we now have as we traverse our experience. And I'd like to close this seminar with a plea to each one of you. Study the purely human life of Joshua ben Joseph. This was a very great guy. And let's read, in closing, what our Midway cousins have to say about him at the end of his human life. This is their summary of the human Jesus. You want to follow me? It's on page 1424. To the onlooking celestial intelligences of the local universe, this Mediterranean trip was the most enthralling of all Jesus' earth experiences, at least of all his career, right up to the event of his crucifixion and mortal death. This was the fascinating period of his personal ministry, in contrast with the soon following epoch of his public ministry. This unique episode was all the more engrossing because he was, at the same time, still the carpenter of Nazareth, the boat builder of Capernaum, the scribe of Damascus. He was still the Son of Man. He had not yet achieved the complete mastery of his human mind. The adjuster had not fully mastered and counterparted the mortal identity. He was still a man among men. The purely human religious experience, the personal spiritual growth of the Son of Man, well nigh reached the apex of attainment during this, the 29th year. This experience of spiritual development was a consistently gradual growth from the moment of the arrival of his thought adjuster until the day of the completion and confirmation of that natural and normal human relationship between the material mind of man and the mind endowment of the Spirit, the phenomenon of the making of these two minds one, the experience which the Son of Man attained in completion and finality as an incarnated mortal of the realm on the day of his baptism in the Jordan. throughout these years, while he did not appear to engage in so many seasons of formal communion with his Father in heaven, he perfected increasingly effective methods of personal communication with the indwelling spirit presence of the Paradise Father. He lived a real life, a full life, and a truly normal, natural, and average life in the flesh. He knows from personal experience the equivalent of the actuality of the entire sum and substance of the living of the life of human beings on the material worlds of time and space. The Son of Man experienced those wide ranges of human emotion which reach from superb joy to profound sorrow. He was a child of joy and a being of rare good humor. Likewise, was he a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In a spiritual sense, he did live through the mortal life from the bottom to the top, from the beginning to the end. From a material point of view, he might appear to have escaped living through both social extremes of human existence. But intellectually, he became wholly familiar with the entire and complete experience of humankind. Jesus knows about the thoughts and feelings, the urges and impulses of the evolutionary and ascendant mortals of the realms, from birth to death. He has lived the human life from the beginnings of physical, intellectual, and spiritual selfhood up through infancy, childhood, youth, and adulthood, even to the human experience of death. He not only passed through these usual and familiar human periods of intellectual and spiritual advancement, but he also fully experienced those higher and more advanced phases of human and adjuster reconciliation which so few Urantia mortals ever attain. And thus he experienced the full life of mortal man, not only as it is lived on your world, but also as it is lived on all other evolutionary worlds of time and space, even on the highest and most advanced of all the worlds settled in light and life. Although this perfect life, which he lived in the likeness of mortal flesh, may not have received the unqualified and universal approval of his fellow mortals, who chanced to be his contemporaries on earth, still the life which Jesus of Nazareth lived in the flesh and on Urantia did receive the full and unqualified acceptance by the Universal Father as constituting at one and the same time and in one and the same personality life the fullness of the revelation of the eternal God to mortal man, and the presentation of perfected human personality to the satisfaction of the infinite Creator. And this was his true and supreme purpose. He did not come down to live on Urantia as the perfect and detailed example for any child or adult, any man or woman, in that age or any other. True it is, indeed, that in his full, rich, beautiful, and noble life, we may all find much that is exquisitely exemplary, divinely inspiring. But this is because he lived such a true and genuinely human life. Jesus did not live his life on earth in order to set an example for all other human beings to copy. He lived this life in the flesh by the same mercy ministry that you all may live your lives on earth. And as he lived his mortal life in his day, and as he was, so did he thereby set an example for all of us to live our lives in our day and as we are. You may not aspire to live his life, but you can resolve to live your lives, even as and by the same means that he lived his. Jesus may not be the technical and detailed example for all the mortals of all ages on all the realms of this local universe, but he is everlastingly the inspiration and guide of all paradise pilgrims from the worlds of initial ascension up through a universe of universes and on through Havona to paradise. Jesus is the new and living way from man to God, from the partial to the perfect, from the earthly to the heavenly, from time to eternity. To me, the human Jesus is a very great guide. I like his curiosity. As a little boy, he got in enough trouble. You know, I like the fact that the elders of Nazareth raised Cain with Joseph about the lawlessness of his son, Joshua. I like his idealism. I like the fact that he made friends. Sure, he was odd in that he wouldn't fight back, but it didn't hurt him very much because he had a friend. Jacob, the son of the stonemason, who would whale the daylights out of anyone, who would take advantage of Jesus' specific nature. I like the fact that he would stand up for his convictions. He was very loyal to his parents. But Joseph could never sell him a bill of goods about the sacrifices in Jerusalem. He simply refused to believe that his Father in heaven loved him less than his Father on earth. I like his youthful indiscretions when he said to Joseph, "Let's go back and organize a baseball league in Nazareth like the Greeks have in Scythopolis." I like his sense of fairness. They had no schools for girls in those days. But he saw to it that his sisters had an education at home. I like the fact that he never ducked his economic responsibilities. He's a good craftsman. He turned out first-class products. And even during a recession, never had any trouble finding employment. I like his growing tact and diplomacy. The patience he had with his brothers and sisters. The fact that he spent Passover in jail with Jude and never told on Jude. And he wouldn't let him throw Jude out either, even though he did make trouble. I like the way he planned. Not only for his public ministry, but he was practical in planning for his mother's security. He earned enough money on the side to take care of her and ask John to look after her. I like this guy as a man. This I understand. The divine part of him, I don't. Not in the least, any more than I understand God. But you don't have to understand his divinity if you feel friendly with his humanity. I repeat, he was a great guy. And it's been a nice week. You've been a lot of fun. Thank you. Now there's a lot of cross-references, which I think you'll find helpful. We don't need to talk about that. We may discuss it next year. But there are some things I had kind of hoped we might get into, which we have not discussed in real detail. And that is the principles of the papers. Some of these we've touched upon, some we haven't. But just to whet your appetites, I'll try and be a good salesman, friend. We have not really exhausted, by any means, the question about what to do about the problem that energy matter is dominant, save in personality, where spirit, through the mediation of mind, is striving for the master. Number two. What is power, personality, unification? Runs all through these papers. Number three, we did cover Mendelian ratios and the appearance of fourth creatures. Number four, we never even touched on the defensive actions of the Supreme Being. Not once. I've got a lot to suggest to you. You might call this reverse English providence. I've done as much thinking on that subject as any other thing in these papers. We have partly discussed growth in relation to the Supreme Being. We have touched upon trinitization, but hardly in terms of the mobilization of potentials. We have discussed the principle of reflective action. We have not really discussed very much about what I call the new philosophy, a thing meaning a value. We've dusted it over. We have not really explored the problem of the part in the whole. There are some of the principles in the papers that I think we might kick around. Does that appeal to you? All right, then will you do me a favor? Sometime, when you meet as a society, and I wish you wouldn't do this verbally because spoken words are real cheap and people are kind of thoughtless, you know. I wish you'd sit down and think about this week. What did we do wrong? As I told Fred, I said, if you think it was all right, fine, say nothing. Don't tell me, you know the Urantia papers. I should know them. I've spent hundreds and thousands of hours on them. But how could we have taught it better? How could we have communicated better? I never did this before. I have never been a teacher of a week seminar before. You folks have never been students in a week seminar before. How can we do a better job next year? Will you do that for me?
That's why we want to get planning right away.
Sure. I mean, let the thing soak in for until your next meeting. But in the perspective of 2 weeks or 2 months, look back on this week and just scratch your head and say, gee, how could we do it better? I'll be thinking about it too. So, it's going to be fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks for being here. Bill, I was just thinking there were many people who were here and who contributed and were so interested in everything, but whose names weren't here.
I'll leave that.
Would you like for me to add those
Why,
that
sure.
I have on the record?
Why, sure.
And then put it in the...
Yes. I think that would be
you like the wrong color, too. Oh, maybe the wrong, Julia.
Oh, okay.
Julia.